Discernment is a vital and crucial part of maturity. And my job is to, my job in life is to help all of you make steps towards spiritual maturity. That's what I'm commissioned to do. And one of the classic passages on spiritual maturity is Hebrews chapter 5. I've got it printed in the box there on your outline, or you can look it up. The last paragraph, Hebrews 5, the writer rebukes the readers of the book of Hebrews because they're immature. And when he rebukes their immaturity, we see in his rebuke the elements of maturity, spiritual maturity, and so we can learn what it is. And the crux of the issue, I'll just tell you the punchline right now, the crux of the issue is the very last line of the chapter, right before you get to chapter 6. He says, the mature are defined there as those who have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. That's spiritual maturity, the ability to be skilled at distinguishing between good and evil. And that may sound simple now, but we'll find there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. Now, the mature, the word mature here in this text, doesn't carry as much of a connotation of age as our word mature. You know, when we say somebody is mature, sometimes we just mean they're older or whatever. Really, this word translated mature is teleos. It's the word, Greek word for perfect. And it refers not to age, but to the way something is supposed to be. Something is teleos, it's perfect, if it's the way it's supposed to be. When a work is in progress and it's reached its final conclusion and it's as it's supposed to be, it's no longer missing anything, and so it's teleos. Mature, perfect. Perfection in the Christian life is measured not by knowledge, but by discernment. That's the point. Maturity in the Christian life is measured not by knowledge, but by discernment. The goal of this class is to help us all become more discerning. So before we begin even studying about discernment, we're going to just start the class out with a little mini-study of this paragraph, Hebrews chapter 5, because it teaches such important things about discernment. Really, what I'm trying to accomplish is this. I'll tell you what my motives are. I want you to have as strong a motive as possible to keep coming to this class. And in order for you to have that motivation, you're going to need to understand how crucially important discernment is in your life. And so in order to understand how crucially important it is, you need to understand how calamitous and insidious and deadly immaturity is in the Christian life. So let's take a look. Verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Now let's just go through and compare the immature with the mature. The writer here is going into detail about the fact that the Old Testament priesthood is completely done away with. That's what he's been doing up to this point in the book. And even as he writes, he can just feel the response of the readers, the immature readers, who are just not going to be able to accept this idea that he's putting forth. And so he stops and he just makes this comment. Spiritual immaturity stems from a lack of understanding, which stems from a refusal to understand. Did you get that? Spiritual maturity stems from a lack of understanding, and a lack of understanding always stems from a refusal to understand a particular point. Look at verse 11. The first thing we find about the immature is, number one, immature are slow to learn. It's hard to say this because you're slow to learn. Literally, you're sluggish in hearing. The word slow appears here, and only here in the Bible, and in chapter 6, verse 12, where it's translated lazy, where it says, we do not want you to be late, become lazy. There are examples in secular Greek of it being applied to an old person who's hard of hearing, but the implication here is that it's a hardness of hearing due to laziness, spiritual laziness. Just like maybe a real elderly person can't quite make out what a person is saying, when you lack spiritual maturity, your heart just can't quite make out the truth because it won't accept it. The same sound waves enter an elderly person's ears that enter your ears. But the mechanism inside there, there's something wrong with it, and the vibrations can't be discerned and interpreted properly when somebody's hard of hearing. So when you're immature, the truths of Scripture, when you hear them taught, same truths go into your ears, and you hear them, just like everyone else. But your heart won't be able to make sense out of them. You won't be able to assimilate them into your life. You won't be able to properly integrate them in with all the other things you know to be true. You won't be able to remember them. You won't be able to properly love them. You won't be able to do any of that because your spirits won't accept them, and then you won't be able to understand them. That's why you explain spiritual principles to somebody who's spiritually mature and they say, oh yeah, I understand. They repeat it back to you. And a month later you talk to them and they have no clue about it. And you tell them again and it's totally new to them because they can't assimilate it. So, number one, the immature are slow to learn. And all these things, remember the motivation here is to get you to keep coming to this class because you want to learn about spiritual maturity and discernment. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be sluggish to learn. Number two, you don't want to be like the spiritually mature people who, verse 12, are characterized by stunted growth and the inability to teach. Look at verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. As we found in Colossians 3:16, every Christian is supposed to be a teacher. Every Christian. You may not have a formal class. You may not feel uncomfortable in front of a crowd. You may not have any rhetorical skills. You may not have the ability to communicate biblical principles to a large, you know, crowd or whatever. But if you don't have the ability to communicate biblical principles to people, you are tragically stunted in your spiritual growth. If somebody comes to you with a problem and you don't know how to help them out from Scripture, something's wrong. Spiritual maturity. And if you have an idea about spiritual truths, but the idea that you have in your head is just not clear enough to be put into words, something's wrong. And this is such a fascinating passage because it assigns a time limit, an actual time limit, when a person ought to be spiritually mature. That's something that I would have resisted had somebody not pointed this out to me, that it's in this text. We don't expect you to be able to instruct others on difficult issues 5 minutes after you've been converted. But if you've been saved for a whole year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or whatever, you can, and you're not at a level to teach, something's wrong. So that's another problem with spiritual maturity. Inability to teach and to understand. A third problem with spiritual maturity. Inability to digest the meat of God's Word. Look at the rest of verse 12. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. So actually the contrast isn't between milk and meat. It's between milk and solid food. You know, we've got a video of Carolyn Nicole, when she was just a year old, eating pizza crust. You know, they can start pretty early. I think babies can, you know, they can choke down a few Cheerios way early. I mean, pretty young, long before they can walk or talk. So a baby that can only take milk is really a little baby, right? I mean, that's real immaturity. The inability to handle any solid food at all is an illustration of the most extreme immaturity. And it's just a pathetic picture, an adult infant. You know, you picture a 40-year-old just wearing a diaper and just only being able to take milk. It's a sad picture. Adam Clark describes this person as one who, quote, walks heavily and makes little speed, or whose souls do not keep pace with the doctrines and exhortations given to them. It's a good definition. They're ever learning but never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. The immature Christian functions all the time at the shallowest level. They never move beyond the most elementary basics. And they usually don't even like getting into conversations about spiritual things because they can't think them through. When they do, they're never really able to contribute much. I mean, other than just stating the obvious. And if you've ever been around people like that, you know that when you're right in the middle of delving into some spiritual truths, some deep, difficult things, and you're wrestling through some real interesting spiritual, and then they pipe up and say something, you know, I just think that people should be really kind to each other, you know? And they just say, it's kind of state the obvious, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's true, but they just can't get any deeper than that. And you might be trying to draw some difficult distinctions, maybe try to sort out exactly, I don't know, when it might be appropriate for a Christian to drink, or, you know, trying to differentiate between sacrificing freedoms on the one hand and being willing to sacrifice freedoms for a weaker brother so that the weaker brother won't stumble on the one hand, but on the other hand, of not wanting to be bullied by just some legalist that claims to be a weaker brother, you know, or whatever, and you're trying to sort some difficult thing out like that, and in the middle of the conversation, you know, somebody speaks up and says, well, you know, Christians just shouldn't get drunk and then drive drunk. It's just too dangerous, you know. And, you know, they just are always at the shallowest, most obvious level. And if the conversation turns towards some, any difficult issue at all, then they'll usually just offer some obvious platitude and then quickly change the subject or walk away because they can't handle it. It's too hard for them. It's over their head, and they know it, and they won't even try and think it through with you. They won't even try. They'll just dismiss it. Ah, it's too hard. I don't know about that. I don't know. That's hard. And they won't even try. You don't want to be one of those people. They are both a disgrace and a drain on the church. Adult infants. They have to always live at the surface, and they have a problem facing life, because the problem with those people is, listen, those people have to face the same hard, difficult things in life that all of us have to face, and yet they're totally inequipped to handle them. I mean, we have tough, they have the same tough questions as us, but they don't know what to make of them, but they can't escape the questions. You know, you live this life, you're forced to make decisions on hard things. And those kinds of people, they just have to sort of shoot from the hip and hope for the best. And, you know, they're like somebody without any driving skills, trying to drive in a difficult area, downtown, inner city, you know, and it's a hard thing. And finally, they just get overwhelmed, and they don't know what to do, so they just close their eyes and make random turns. You know, that's kind of the way some people go about making hard decisions in the Christian life because of spiritual immaturity. They have no idea what to do. And if you examine closely those people's lives, you're going to find train wreck after train wreck after train wreck. You're going to find their finances in a chaos, or you're going to find their family to be a chaos, or their schedule is going to be a chaos, or something. It's going to be a mess. Their blood pressure will tend to be high, their anxiety level will be high, and they'll tend to have health problems that go along with those things because they don't know how to navigate through the difficulties of life because of immaturity. You don't want to be a person like that. When you're immature, you really miss out. I mean, you really miss out. Anyone who's ever been to Country Buffet knows that if the only food you can eat is milk, you're missing out. Right? People who are adult infants just don't have access to the things that bring the joy of the Christian life. You'll walk out of a sermon or a Bible study, and the mature people around you will be rejoicing or moved to tears, and you'll just be, at least leave you completely flat. Some truth from Scripture will change their lives and enable them to conquer sins and develop certain virtues that are hard to develop, and they'll enjoy closer intimacy with the Lord, one another, and the whole time you're just sort of coasting along like you always have been, getting nowhere. You don't want to be a person like that. And then let me show you a frightening phrase at the end of verse 12. Look at verse 12. See that phrase all over again? You need someone to teach you the elementary truths all over again. That term, along with the perfect tenses of the verbs, implies that these people went from a state of being mature back to immaturity. What I mean by the perfect tense of the verb, I should probably explain that. Verse 11, where it says, you are slow to learn. The word are, you are slow, that's the perfect participle of the form of the word to be. It literally should be translated, a perfect is something that's completed in the past, something that's been done in the past. So the idea is, you having become slow to learn in the past. You weren't always slow to learn, but now you've become that way. It happens again in verse 12, same word. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. Literally, it should be this. You, having become needful of someone to teach you the elementary truths. You didn't used to need that. You used to be mature. Now you need it. And the elementary truths, that's a phrase, it's a funny phrase. It refers to the very beginning basics, the very basics. Literally, it refers to the letters of the alphabet. I mean, you're all the way back to kindergarten in your understanding. You don't need someone to come along and start you again with chapter one. You have to go all the way back to the ABCs. You need someone to come alongside you and say, A says ah, B says b, C says k, you know. That's what Tracy's doing with Josiah right now, teaching him the letters. And he's, you know, he's learning his ABCs. It'll be a while before he'll be able to fully comprehend the spiritual implications of the priesthood of Christ and the order of Melchizedek. I mean, he's still stuck on E says eh, you know, for a while. So, but that's something, the point is they became that way. Something happened in the past that brought you back to a point of needing to start all over with baby food again. It's not just arrested development. Arrested development is tragic enough. I mean, when you see someone who's 30 years old and he's got the mind of a four-year-old, it breaks your heart and it's sad. And that's, you know, if somebody just doesn't develop, that's sad. But it's even, and of course, spiritually, it's even more heartbreaking. I mean, it's tragic. Somebody's been saved for years and years and they haven't progressed at all. But it's infinitely more tragic when someone has advanced and then regresses. Imagine your spouse slowly, month by month, going from the normal intelligence where they are now, back, slowly back to being like an infant. How tragic would that be? This is a sobering reality, the fact that they were mature and now they're immature. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, no matter what your past has been like, you are always at risk of becoming immature. And that's a frightening danger, because once you're immature, it's almost impossible to recover from that because you can't understand anything. It's hard to become mature again. And it all begins with lazy listening, and it results in the inability to listen. You can be mature, and if you develop a laziness in your listening, it'll result in an inability to listen and understand. The normal posture of a Christian is one of intense listening to God's Word. And people who are on the normal track of spiritual growth are easy to spot because they're all ears when it comes to spiritual truths that they don't, you know, that are helpful to them. In fact, that's even been observed historically. You know, they say when I was reading about a historian who writes about the Great Awakening, and one of the byproducts of the Great Awakening was a tremendous resurgence in an interest in learning shorthand. People all wanted to take notes, and you'd see people walking around with inkwells and pens, you know, on them. And they just wanted, whenever they heard sermons, they wanted to write it all down. And so each country where the Great Awakening had an impact, you'd see this great interest in learning shorthand. Jesus continually warned people of the danger of listening the wrong way. And I don't want to take the time to go into a whole study of this, but it's just all over the Gospels. Luke 8:18 is one example where he says, consider carefully how you listen. You remember that? Consider carefully how you listen. Because there are people who have ears to hear, but they won't hear. And it's because of the way that they go about listening. And the writer of the Hebrews does the same thing. This isn't the first time he's talked about listening the right way. He's over every chapter except one up till now, he makes statements, listen carefully. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we don't drift away. He says it again in chapter 3, in verse 7. He says it again in verse 15 of chapter 3. Again in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again in chapter 4, verse 7. Three different times he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He's always talking about the way that you listen. Lazy listening is when you listen and you take it all in with great delight, right up until the point when some point is made that means a change in your life that you don't want to make. And at that point, the lazy listener's brain just says, I didn't hear that. You know, I heard everything else. I heard the whole rest of the sermon. I love it. I'll go up to the pastor and say, I love this, I love this, I love this. But that one point that means a hard change in my life, I didn't hear that. That's lazy listening. Attentiveness to God's Word that is lethargic and lazy is very dangerous, in many cases results in not being able to understand at all. Whatever you do, don't ever come to church passive. Richard Baxter says this. He says he's talking about don't put all the responsibility on the preacher. And he says, you have work to do as well as the preacher and should be at all times be as busy as he. You must take it in, digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work and abhor an idle heart in hearing as well as an idle minister. Now, you wouldn't want an idle minister. You wouldn't want me to just sit around all week, you know, play golf, goof around, watch TV, you know, play video games, whatever. You wouldn't want that. You would abhor an idle pastor. You should abhor just as much an idle heart as a listener. Because it requires just as much work from you, if not more, as it does for me. The whole passage, this whole passage just has this strident sense of frustration. If you just read it, you know, if you're reading through Hebrews and you get to this passage, you can just feel the anxiety of the writer. I mean, he's just going along, talking about Melchizedek, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just says, in verse, like, I have a lot to say, but I just can't say it to you people. You know, you just can't understand this. Why? Why does he, after five chapters of writing all this great stuff, why does he just suddenly just throw down his pen and say, I can't tell this to you folks? It was because of his knowledge of their immaturity. Normally, you don't even try explaining difficult things to an immature person, but once in a while you find yourself making an attempt, and when you do, you just find that there's constant misunderstandings. I mean, they just constantly misunderstand. And the next thing you know, you're trying to explain something difficult to a spiritually immature person. The next thing you know, they're saying, oh, so you're saying this, and then they spout some heresy. And then you have to get them back, no, I wasn't saying that. And then you have to get them back to the very basics. Let me explain the basics of Christianity, and it's all you can do. And if you can get them back to the basics, then you're happy. Okay, let's leave it at that. And that's kind of the, you know, what he's doing here. He's just like, he can just feel the fact that they're going to misinterpret everything. I'm talking about somebody who will take what's said and turn it into heresy. I mean, spiritually mature people, the reason they do that is because not only do they have an inability to understand, but they have fleshly, sinful impulses pushing their understanding towards error all the time. So, you know, if you hear something, you don't understand it, you have a legitimate question, towards wanting to get to the truth, that's a good thing. That's a sign of maturity. But if you just hear everything and everything you hear pushes you towards more and more errors and you don't understand, everything's always foggy in your mind, and no matter how much it's explained to you, the more it's explained, the less you understand, that means you've either got a pastor that can't properly explain things or possibility of spiritual immaturity. It's remarkable how close spiritual immaturity is to unbelief. Very close. And it's a similar results, and that's why it's such a drastic concern, and that's why he goes on to warn them about going even farther to the point of unbelief in chapter 6. So, reason number 4 why spiritual maturity is bad. People who are spiritually mature are unskilled with the teaching about righteousness. Verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Not acquainted, unacquainted. The word unacquainted there literally means inexperienced or unskilled. The picture is of somebody who can't handle something because of a lack of experience. They're just not good at something because of a lack of experience. You know, like a pilot who has never flown a plane. He's studied about it. He's never actually flown. On his very first flight, if he runs into some real difficult situation, he's not going to be able to handle it because some things are only learned through experience. And the ability to take truths of the gospel and utilize them to understand the truths in a better way, to take the truths you already know, utilize those to understand new truths, is a skill that requires practice and experience. Spiritual maturity is not like riding a bike. You can forget how, and you can go from being experienced to actually becoming inexperienced, even though you've been experienced in the past. So that's a description of the immature. That's the horrendous calamity of being spiritually immature. Now, let's look at what it says about maturity. So far, one thing we can do is reverse each of the things before. Spiritually mature people, verse 11, are quick to learn instead of slow to learn. They're growing and they have the ability to teach. They're able to digest the meat of God's word, and they're skilled in the teaching about righteousness. Now, verse 14 adds this. Now, this is really what I wanted to focus on, is verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, let's take that apart. It's interesting, the word themselves, they've trained themselves, that's not really the word themselves, it's really the word that refers to senses. Your five senses, your faculties, your abilities to perceive. Let me translate it. Verse 14, let me just give you a literal translation because I think this is a lot better. Having trained the faculties of perception to a high level of skill with the result of being able to distinguish good and evil. That's really how it should read. They've trained their faculties of perception to a high level of skill. And the result of that is discernment, the ability to distinguish between good and evil. Now, let's look at each part. Having trained is a term that's an athletic term. It's a real strong athletic term. It means to get into the gym. It has the idea of being in a gym and an intense workout. So it's really an unusual phrase. You go to the gym and you work out hard training your ears and your eyes and your taste buds and your nose and your sense of touch. A mixed metaphor. And it's kind of an unusual, figure of speech. But the idea is you go into the gym, just work out your senses until you have this high skill level of perception, of perceiving the world around you. Now, I can go to the gym and work out and improve my cardiovascular health or my muscular strength or something like that. But what kind of a workout do I do to improve my sense of smell or my sense of taste? What is the point of all those figures of speech? I mean, what does it mean, in practical terms, to spiritually train your senses so that you have a high level of skill at perceiving? What are your spiritual senses of perception? Physically, your senses, you have five of them, taste and touch and all that. Spiritually, what are the spiritual senses? How many are there, and what are they, and how does one go about training those? That's your homework for this week, is to answer those questions. What are your spiritual senses? How do you train them? What do you have to do to get your senses to the point where they're acute?